You are listening to the San Antonio Zen Center Dharma Talks. The San Antonio Zen Center is supported solely by donation, so that everyone can participate in our offerings and programs, regardless of income. If you are able, please consider making a donation to SAZC through the donation button on our site, sanantoniozen.org, or by visiting paypal.me/sanantoniozen. Thank you for your practice and enjoy the talk. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to be sitting with you all today. Every time we get to be together is it's like a family reunion. Except one you're not dreading going to. Always appreciate very much seeing people come in the Zendo and take on this kind of crazy practice that we do. You know, to sit down and not move and look at a wall for half an hour to stretch. Even Zoom doesn't like it. It turned it off earlier today because we went for 40 minutes without doing anything. Every morning during the week, after the second period of Zazen, we have a short service. We do three bows and we chant the repentances and the refuges. So we begin by saying, all my ancient tangled karma from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. All my ancient tangled karma, all the causes and conditions that led us to practice, from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion. So before we were even aware, maybe engaging in unskillful behavior. Born through body, speech, and mind, various ways that this unskillful behavior expresses itself. It's the most important line. I now fully avow. That's the most important line in the repentances. We're gathering, before that, we're kind of gathering everything up. We're gathering up our ancient tangled karma, how it expressed itself. And we say, I own it. I own this. This is what brought me here. In the recovery tradition, probably would be seen as making amends, the step of making amends. In recovery, it's typically done one-on-one with detail. But in the way that we get to do it is we get to stand in front of everyone in the room. We get to stand before all being see.
I'm so deeply flawed. I'm so deeply flawed. And there's no details necessary in the way that we do it. We're all saying it together, so we get to see and be seen in that moment. We get to express ourselves, and we get to be witnessed as well too. It can be kind of difficult. Someone said that they experienced some pretty intense nausea saying those words. Yeah. And the difference is, you know, that keeps it from like just like dwelling in shame is that we turn around and say, I take refuge in Buddha. Before all being, immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind. I take refuge in Dharma. Before all being, entering deeply the merciful ocean of Buddha's way. I take refuge in Sangha. Before all being, bringing harmony to everyone, free from hindrance. So we get to avow the really difficult parts of our life. And then we get to say, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to return to my intention to awaken and to be of use. Return to my intention not to do harm. It's a very beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing to have that opportunity to say, I'm deeply flawed and I vow to keep trying. Ceremony at Tassajara, the Shuso ceremony, the head student ceremony. There's at the end, after all the questions, and the Shuso is just exhausted from having to answer 60 plus questions. Thinking on his or her feet, or not thinking as the case may be. At the end, I hold up the staff and they say, I've been Shuso through the support of all of you and Patty. I've taken on this role. And then they say, friends, if any of my words has led you astray, please wash out your ears in the pure sound of Tassajara Creek. Or at City Center, they say, please wash out your ears in the pure sound of Dharma. And there's something so wholesome about that. This person has just stood up there and has just gone through trial by fire. And said, please forgive me if I was wrong. And don't take it too seriously. Because what they say is, I vow to keep trying. That's what they, it's one of the very last lines. So in this, could I have a little clock, please, if you got to. In doing this practice of repentance, when we do this, it means we don't get to fool ourselves. We don't get to fool ourselves that we haven't caused harm in the past. We don't get to try to fool others. Instead, we just say, I'm so flawed in so many ways, and on such a level I'm not even aware of it. And I vow to wake up. I vow to wake up. I vow to live and be lived for the benefit of all beings. So in doing this, it's just being willing to get up and say those words in front of other people is a profound act of dignity. We don't have to be shame, you know, we don't have to feel shame. We can just say, yeah, I'm flawed. I know it. I'm well aware of it. And I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying. It's good not to take ourselves too seriously when we're doing this. It really is. Suzuki Roshi said, what we're doing is so important, so we better not take it too seriously. Tremendous dignity involved in being willing to admit our flaws instead of hiding or defending or denying. We open the door for the chickens that have come home to roost to go forth again, instead of keeping them cooped up. There's also an element of forgiveness involved with this, by being willing to say these words. I think it's an act of self-forgiveness. And if we can be present with others as they are doing this, we get to witness the self-forgiveness. And we get to forgive in turn. A lot of it depends on what your definition of forgiveness is. I think it's one of those words that's so personal. It means different things to different people. I've heard so many definitions over the years. And the way I've come to understand it for me is forgiveness is a restoration of equanimity. So if we can aid someone just by witnessing, aid someone saying these words, it's a great gift. It's a great gift to be able to do it. It's a great gift just to be able to say the words. And then taking refuge the second part of this is to refocus our intentions, to come back to our intentions, rededicate ourselves. And part of rededicating ourselves means we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. And we pick ourselves back up and we continue. So in the repentances, we acknowledge the unwholesome. And in the refuges, we turn toward the wholesome. Cultivating and harvesting good intentions. We need help. We need help in doing this. Someone I knew at Tassara, whose wife had been a social worker for many years, said that in her experience, we're all either showing our love or asking for help. So both of these right there. And the repentances and refuges. We get to ask for help, and we get to show our love. And anybody who wears this robe or this robe, it's easy to think of it as being, well, they have something. They have something. Something special. Really what they're saying is, please help me in my bodhisattva vow. You didn't know that when you took the precepts, did you, Jared?
No.
Yes. This is, it's a visible marker of our intention, wearing this robe. Please help me with this. This is a symbol of my vow. So if you have a home altar, pardon me, or even when you get up and maybe try beginning the day with repentances and refuges. Especially if you do have an altar, after you offer incense and you do three rows. And a little metta never helps. Never hurts. I mean, a little metta never hurts after we do the repentances and refuges. It always helps. This is something that doesn't get enough play, in my feeble opinion. In Mahayana Buddhism, it's like all beings, vowing to save all beings, includes us, that never at any point excludes us. It's very important. We include ourselves in any way. Even if it's just looking at yourself in the mirror and saying good morning. Even if you can't say the words of metta. Because for some folks it's too painful to do metta for themselves. Maybe try looking in the mirror and saying, good morning. Good morning. So we're very lucky that we have this opportunity to avow, to repent, to take refuge, to cultivate love for self and others, for all being. Before practice, I would have had no idea how to do this stuff. You may as well have been describing the far side of the moon to me. But now, it's, oh, look at these wonderful tools that we have. How remarkable. How amazing. What a gift. What a fantastic gift. Before practice, you know, all we have is a hammer, and you know the saying about hammers. Everything looks like a nail. All you have is a hammer. But in doing this practice and learning how to cultivate in so many different ways, patience and love. Our toolbox overfloweth. This is why Avalokiteshvara has 1,000 arms. And each hand is a different tool. So she always has the appropriate response. And she is us. She is us. No difference. No difference. So all my ancient tangled karma from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. Thank you very much. If anyone has any questions or comments.